Look, if you will, this morning in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to primarily focus on one phrase in this passage of Scripture when it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's what I want to focus on this morning, just that one phrase, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Notice the baby of Bethlehem is the Son of God. He is the eternal God. God is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God, but he is the eternal God and the eternal second person of the Trinity. That is who Jesus Christ is. He's not a man. He's not a person as we know him. He is the eternal, almighty God. And the Bible says that he was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh. And this means that the incarnation, Jesus Christ becoming human, when it says in the likeness, it is a fact. It is not referring to he appeared to be human. Jesus Christ literally became a human being. He was not a human being prior to his birth. Jesus Christ was not human. Jesus Christ was God. And so he literally became a human being. Listen to these verses of Scripture. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Jesus Christ was not human, but he wrapped himself in humanity. He wrapped himself as a human being. He became a human being. And thus he became God and man united forever. And that is very key, because if anyone denies that Jesus Christ is God, and anyone denies that as God he became man, they're part of the Antichrist. The Bible says this, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. A person's view of Jesus Christ determines their eternal destiny. And if you deny the deity, and then if you deny the fact that Christ became human, if you miss either one, and down through the centuries, the church or heritage within the church have leaned too far one way or leaned too far this way and have developed heresies. And many cults today deny who the person of Jesus Christ is. But I want you to notice, he sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Notice he did become human, but he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's very key. Jesus Christ's nature was not sinful. Jesus Christ, when he wrapped himself in humanity and when he was born as a baby, Jesus Christ only came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he himself was not sinful. Jesus Christ was holy. Luke 1 says it this way, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ only came in the likeness, and I'll explain that in a few minutes, in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he himself participated none of sin. He himself, by his very nature, was not born sinful. All of us have been born into this world through the man Adam, and all of us have been born sinful. No matter how good we may appear, all of us have wrapped ourselves in humanity, in flesh that is sinful. But Jesus Christ did not. Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin, the Bible says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Ghost. And if you'll notice in the genealogy of Jesus, when it refers to Joseph, it refers to him as the husband of Mary, but not as the father of Jesus. He is only the legal father of Jesus so that he inherits the throne of David, but he is not the literal father. The Holy Spirit is. Jesus Christ, when he was put in the womb of Mary, was unique. His birth is unique of all of anyone's birth. He's the only person in history to become a human being but not have sinfulness in his human nature. Not only was, when it says in the likeness of sinful flesh, that Jesus Christ was not sinful, but he did not commit sin. But there was no sin in his nature. He never knew sin in the sense of having it in his nature as a pollution. He was entirely free of anything sinful. Though Jesus was born into humanity and made in the likeness of sinful flesh, he bypassed and had none of sin in his nature. Was an absolute holy person when he came into this world. The Bible says in Hebrews, "For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." 1 Peter says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus Christ took upon himself human nature, but a human nature that was free of any sin. Because the birth was unique. The one who planted the seed in the womb was the Holy Spirit, not Joseph. And so this child that is born, the one that we celebrate, is unique. Only came in the likeness so that he became human, but he did not become sinful. The Catholics are not right at this point. Not all believe this, but those believe that somehow Mary was unique and somehow Mary was holy, and that Jesus Christ came from Mary and they honor Mary. That is not true. Mary was born into sin just as all of us were born into sin. There was nothing unique about Mary. There was nothing holy about Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's nothing unique and fantastic about her. She was sinful just as all of us were sinful. What was unique about her was the baby placed into her was holy and separate from sin, while she herself was sinful. And the only thing that was placed there was Jesus Christ was placed there free from any sin that came down through human nature, but he was placed in there to become human. He was not sinful. The eternal God cannot combine with any sinful human nature. Christ was born with a sinless human nature, and sin could not enter in because he is the eternal Son of God. He remained spotless and perfect without ever failing and without any trace of sin in any connection to the end. That is very important to understand who Jesus Christ is. He is the eternal God who became human but bypassed the sinfulness. Every child that you and I have, though that child comes in the world with an image made like the image of God, and so there is some goodness and characteristics and thinking and growing and ability come into this world wrapped in sinfulness. All of us are. None of us escape except the Lord Jesus Christ, who is unique. In the likeness of sinful flesh, Jesus did Now listen very carefully. Jesus did inherit some of the characteristics that belong to our humanity because of sin, but he did not inherit sin. When Jesus Christ wrapped himself in this human flesh, this body hurts. This body experiences pain. This body grows old. This body decays. This body feels all kinds of anger and all sorts of things. Jesus Christ did not inherit the sin. Jesus Christ did not inherit that which was sinful, but Jesus Christ did wrap himself in the humanity of the human race with all its limitations. Jesus Christ got tired. Jesus Christ got hungry. Jesus Christ was sleepy. He was on the boat and was so tired and in his humanity was sleepy. Jesus Christ was not sinful, but he wrapped himself in the humanity that all of us share. He is the one unique person in all the world, Jesus Christ. Now notice what it says. For what the law could not do, in that what it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ only came in the likeness of sinful flesh, that is the humanity, but he bypassed the sinfulness. He is unique. Why did he come? Why did Jesus Christ come? You see, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ was Almighty God, not sure you're saved. And if you don't believe as God that he wrapped himself in humanity apart from sinfulness, I'm not sure you're saved. Because that is a very important doctrine. As I said last week, we trust in who the person of Christ is and what he did on the cross. But why did he come? Why did God have to become man? Why? In order to save us. There was no other way that Jesus Christ could save us apart from being human. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to cleanse humanity, but to create an entirely new humanity. You see, Jesus Christ came into this world and became human, God in human flesh, so that he would end the old humanity, all of us who are sinful. And when he was raised from the dead, Jesus Christ became head of a brand new race of people, those who are in Christ. Jesus Christ came to save us, to end sin, to sanctify us, to make us holy, and to one day take us home. Jesus Christ did not come just to give fire insurance. He came to save us. And why? Notice what it says. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The law cannot save you. I imagine most of us, to some degree, including all of us, have a little bit of pride in us. We think we're pretty good. You know, we don't live like that person, so we're better. We don't do what that other person does, so we're better. That's the basis of all judging, because I'm better than other people. We think we're that good. But friend, by living by the law cannot save you. The law is weak because sinful human flesh cannot fulfill that which pleases God. And so the fact that we could not lift ourselves up and save us, none of us can. You say, well, I don't do anything. I follow the Ten Commandments. I live a good life. I help poor people. I help my neighbor. Great. But because of the weakness of sinful flesh, none of that will please a holy God. It is impossible. That's why Christ had to come and save us. And that's why Christ had to perfectly obey the law of God as our representative. You see, human beings sinned and broke God's law. And so a human being had to come and live and obey God's law.
And Jesus Christ wrapped himself in human flesh and was absolutely perfect, free of sin, and perfectly obeyed the Father. Never once sinned, never once broke the law, never failed to do what the law said as my representative and your representative. And when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God considers me as perfect and acceptable and blessed to come into his presence. Not because I fulfilled the law, but because Christ in his humanity fulfilled the law as my representative. That's why it's important. Jesus Christ was perfect. And seated at the right hand of the Father is the perfect Son of God. And when I come, you notice quite often I do it deliberately. I do not pray without coming in the name and the worth and the person of Jesus Christ. I do not pray because I'm Tim Phillips, or because I'm a preacher, or because I'm good. I pray because I've trusted in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, having totally fulfilled the law, which I could not, as my representative to make me holy before God. Not only that, but notice what it says. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Our guilt must be borne. Sin must be punished. Sin must be dealt with. And Jesus Christ had to become a human being, because human beings are the ones who sinned against God. God could not simply say, "I'll forgive everyone." That would not be fair. We have offended a holy God. We have sinned against a holy God. And someone had to pay. And Jesus Christ came and wrapped himself in humanity and went to the cross in a human body and was punished in his human body for the sin of all the world. The Bible says in 1 Peter, who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree. Our guilt must be borne. In order to take our punishment, he had to take upon himself human nature. He must be a man to bear the punishment and to be the start of a new humanity. As sin is committed in the body, it must be punished in the body. Sin was not condemned in theory, but in the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what it means. Jesus Christ was born in the likeness of sinful flesh so that sin could be condemned and punished. That's who we celebrate. That's who we worship. That's who we follow. A Savior who was the eternal God, who came in the likeness but bypassed the sinfulness, who totally obeyed the law. When I come into God's presence, God says, "Come on in, Tim." "Well, teacher, don't you have to confess all your sins before you come in?" "Well, maybe, maybe not. I come by based on the name of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I'm in his presence, then maybe we need to deal with the sin and the lie. But I don't come because I straighten up. I come because Jesus Christ is perfect in my place. And Jesus Christ took the punishment for my sin in his own body. I've been punished for my sin because I've trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's the only way. He's the only one." Well, I tell you, if Christians could ever grab a hold of the teaching of the book of Romans on what it really means to be saved, our lives would be changed and holy and godly. Because one of the things that bothers me so much is we Christians sometimes have no depth to our understanding of what it means to be saved. Christ came, and in my mind I can see him, Christ coming into the womb of Mary, bypassing sinful humanity, being born into the human race with no sin, and as a human being perfectly fulfilling the Father's will, perfectly obeying him in my behalf. Then going to the cross as a human being. Jesus Christ was not a ghost. He was not a spirit. He was a human being. Because human beings have sinned against God. And God punished him. those who make a mockery of Christ, those who make a mockery of Christianity, those who deny the centrality of what Christ did at the cross, deny what God has done from Genesis to Revelation. He is everything. And I would probably be willing to say that if the death of Christ does not thrill you, if the death of Christ does not excite you, if the person of Christ does not lift you up, I would question your salvation. I actually believe you probably might not even be saved. Because church doesn't save you, Baptist doesn't save you, it is Jesus Christ who was made in the likeness. And he took upon himself human nature so that he could, in my own humanity, impart to me himself. Boy, it is a thrill to know Christ as our Savior. And I hope that at least in some way you can grab a hold of who this Jesus is.